Let's take our Bibles and turn this morning to Psalm 20. Psalm 20, which if you were listening last week, and I know you were, you're saying, well, shouldn't we be in Psalm 55 this Sunday? After all, Pastor, you've been going through the Psalms in order in your time of break, and so what's happening? And yet, at the end of the month of July, I celebrated my 8th year of ordination in our churches. And so, oftentimes when I do that, I come back to Psalm 20 for some reasons that I'll share with you as we begin our sermon together. And so, in meditating on this Psalm, it was a place being brought again. I had worked some thoughts for this already from Isaiah's a few weeks ago, and yet they still didn't get there. It still didn't really culminate with that real fullness of where at least my heart has been led, and I pray that ours together will be led as well. And so let's hear God's word, Psalm 20, to the choir master, a psalm of David, where it's written, "May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. May he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. May we shout for joy over your salvation. In the name of our God, set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving might of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They collapse and fall, but we rise and stand upright. O Lord, save the king. May he answer us when we call." Let's follow the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Let's seek his blessing in it together in a moment of prayer. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for all of it and for the ways you teach us through it. And fathers, we reflect on that word at different times in our experience of who you are and what you have done for us. Father, we come to greater insight, to greater encouragement, and Father, in turn, greater blessing. And so we pray, Father, that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our spirit would be pleasing in your sight, and that you would remind us in whom is our help, our rock, and our Redeemer. For we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Congregation, beloved of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as I said, I just celebrated 8 years of ordained ministry in our churches a few weeks ago. And yet for that experience, it was not always a cheerful one, at times not always a joyous one. In fact, I remember early on before I was ordained sitting in a living room in a parsonage in Canada with a heavy and troubled heart because I had not sustained an ordination exam the day before. Struggle of looking at my wife, looking at my one-year-old, looking at her pregnant. Now what? What do I do? Where do I go? Trying to make sense of what just happened. Why, God? Why has this happened? Why am I sitting here? Why is there not celebration today, but seeming mourning? But there weren't words for it. I didn't know what to say. The people who came to visit me, they didn't know what to say either. And yet a good friend, my pastor mentor, came and he read for us the words of Psalm 20. And as you just look at your scriptures this morning, what verse do you probably think you gravitate to first? To verse 4. May he grant your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. But that wasn't it yet. In fact, that isn't the thing that I needed to hear the most, maybe right in that moment. But that's the inclination of our hearts. Father, I know that some roadblock has come in my way, some trouble, but you want me to have what I want, right? But I know now, in experiencing that year by year since, that the reason he read that was for verse 7. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. You see, that's what I needed to hear. Because that moment in life wasn't just about me, but it was about we. That in our troubles together, it's not just about us, but it's about us together. We need to trust in the Lord. And so we could pray together and struggle together in that name. knowing that God is faithful, that he will bring that way, that he will show it together. And I've been so very thankful each time I have read it since, that that brother was used in such a way to bring that necessary reminder. And maybe that's where you're found this morning. And I know that many of the Psalms that we've read or that we've studied together have kind of landed here, but I think there's a reason for some of that too. Have you found yourself troubled? The majority of us, if we're being honest, would say yes. There are times where we wonder why. There are times where we struggle to know, Father, what's going on right now? In the Psalms, it seems as though trouble is the word used most often to speak of where David finds himself. And yet times of trouble serve to what? To bring us back to the Rock and Redeemer. To humble ourselves before him. To find our help and our trust in him. In Psalm 20, the impending trouble that awaits David is war. A fight is coming. A struggle for him and for his people would be there. But David's response was a desire to come to the Lord and bring his prayer, to bring his sacrifice, so that his heart would be right in leading them. In the face of such trouble, in the strength of the Lord, in the confidence that he would bless and fight for them. And so notice right away that Psalm 20 isn't an individual prayer. This isn't just one for David. This is a prayer of the community. He is their God. David's trouble was their trouble. Just in the same way that your troubles are our troubles as we bear our burdens together. No, the Lord was their God. And as we experience trouble and difficulty, that is our cry as well. And so when these things happen, troubles, difficulties of health or finances, spiritual struggling and yearning, what do? We pray together as community. We rally together as brothers and sisters. Because we know that the Lord's anointed, even Jesus Christ, has come to save us and has anointed us and brought us to trust and faith in him as well. And so what trouble are you facing in your life right now? What stands before you? It might be blessing. It might be woe. But all of it is for the glory of God. What's standing before you, seeking to separate you from the Lord and the blessing of being united with his people? Psalm 20 is the remedy. And so what we see this morning is that the Lord's people cry out to God for his help and salvation in the day of their trouble. So they are crying to him in two ways. They are crying to him of their blessings in verses 1 to 5, and they are crying to him of their boasting in the end of the psalm. But we're driven to the Lord that he might provide what is the deepest desire of our heart. And yet, when we're met with those times of trouble, what's almost that reflex? It's certainly one in our sinful nature, but we turn away. We turn away from the will of God. We turn away from that which he is promising us in his word, tempted to look elsewhere for help. We want answers. We demand them. Why do I have to deal with these things? What is the reason? In fact, it's though we're yelling out against the sovereignty of God instead of finding our hope and our trust in it. But just because you've asked for that reason doesn't mean that you may know or be given an answer other than for your good and God's glory. Is that enough for us? Is that enough? As the years go on, the Lord in his grace might give you glimpses into these things. This is why you needed to be here or live in this place or be humbled in a certain way or to be chastised. But you might not. But still, you and we together are called to seek the Lord, certainly, but also to trust in him, that the Lord would bless and make his will known, that he would come deliver us, that we together would sound forth in whatever that deliverance looks like with his praise. And that's how David begins his prayer, to provide that which we seek, that we need. And more, verse 1, may the Lord answer you in the day of trouble, that you come to a covenant-keeping God who has always been faithful, seeking the blessing of an answer. And in that knowledge already, we have more than we deserve. God is faithful. That's enough. But notice the nature of that blessing. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. It doesn't say that he will take it away, that he will remove it, that he will deliver you instantly from it. He's just looking for an answer. But it means that he will. It means that he sees. It means that he hears. It means that he knows. It means that he understands. It means that he will speak and he will send that which is necessary. And that answer may not be something you want to hear in that day. Maybe a lot of times it feels like it isn't the answer we want to hear. But in being given that answer, it is his. The answer of a faithful God who places his name upon us, who will be glorified. That has to be enough for us because he's placed his name on us. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. We looked at this a little bit in God's providence last week in Psalm 54. How am I saved? By a name. But yet when you were born, you were given a name. A name which has made you part of a family, that great blessing in itself. And yet in times of trouble, there is a greater protection and a greater blessing because we find our life wrapped up, not just alone. That's what Satan wants us to believe. You are suffering this alone, and you are the only one that has ever gone through it. Instead, God says, you're a people. You're my people. And you are gathered together in that name. That as they come to our aid, as they are used to uphold us and to encourage us, sometimes to admonish us or discipline us, that's used by God in his grace. In grace to protect us from falling into despair. Grace to urge us to draw near to a faithful God. And that as we rally together in prayer, in supplication for each other, that prayer for help is powerful. Verse 2, may he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. This isn't any ordinary help. David isn't just asking for a favor from his neighbors. No, where does he go? He comes to an almighty faithful God. He comes to the sanctuary, the place of his presence. And that's what the psalmist needs. That's what David needs to know most. That's what we need to know in our place of trouble. Father, I may not understand any of the things that are happening or going on to me, but I know that you're near me. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Take not your presence from me. He needs to know. And so we want to know that he's there and that he's working. What David is crying out for simply is comfort for him and for his people. Find it in the place where it is to be found. For there is peace in knowing that he is near, that he is upon his throne in Zion, ruling over all things, that all of those troubles even and all of that other work of the Lord will bring him glory, sending us the support and blessing of knowing that we are his children, saved by his grace, even as he shows us that which he is working in our hearts and lives, so that we'd be led to worship. Verse 3, may he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. That there's still blessing in obedience. That even in that struggle, as we trust in him, do that which I've called you to. Do that which I've commanded to you. But not as though we're going to be faithful and now, well, God's just going to change it up for us. But instead in trust of knowing the work of the Lord, faithful to showing us that the sacrifices that we make in our lives, that the holiness we seek to live, and the honor that we bring, that all of those things matter to him. Faithfulness matters. That obedience matters, not for us, but for him, for his praise. And the wonder is we're able to come. That he's jealous for our coming. that he wants to know our worship. And he reminds us that he accepts it, not because of us, but because of his work. Because even this talk of sacrifice, people of God, drives us to Christ. It drives us to Jesus so early in the psalm. That we as a people seek the blessing of knowing that we are found most fully in him, in his sacrifice, in his righteousness. So that when our hearts are made right again, with that being the desire for us, not only as individuals, but as a body together, as those who lift up our prayers with those in trouble, we all find then the blessing of being found in the Lord. Of being found in him. And no matter what, then, we will be most satisfied with him. And that's the point we need to be brought to, right? In my own struggles, I needed to be brought to a place that, you know what, Father, if you don't want me to be a minister, I will rest in you. For you and your sickness, Father, this sickness does not define me. You do not need to take this away for me to know your faithfulness. Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say it as well. That's where we have to be brought. So that then we can cry most assuredly in verse 4. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. Because your plans aren't your plans anymore. They're his. That's huge. That takes us a lifetime to figure out. But that's that place. We desire his grace to be poured out upon us that we might endure. We want to do that which he calls us to do in joy as we experience it together. And so when we see one of our brothers or sisters in the midst of struggle and trial, we hurt for each other. There are times where we look at that brother and sister and say, God needs to work in their life through this. And we pray for it. We want that desire. We want that to be affected in them. We're brought together to our knees to experience his grace, mindful of his blessings, and that call to come to him wholly. But what's the hard part of praying verse 4? I don't get to change it. That's where we're brought often, right? We don't get to change other people's hearts. We can pray for it. Father, use that circumstance and then now use it in my life. But they may not learn it yet. But yet we're community together. We embrace them. We pray for them. We encourage them. We call them. Find your greatest satisfaction in the Lord. Find your life bound up in Jesus Christ. Because only then do we have success. Not as the world defines it, but success in a life of the Lord. Verse 5, may we shout for joy over your salvation and in the name of our God set up our banners. That in that moment when that comes, where that knowledge is there, where it's experienced, we rejoice in it. When we see hearts change, we rejoice and we lift up our banners and signs and our holy hands and we lift up shouts of salvation. That it belongs to Christ, that it belongs to the Lamb. Look at the redemption that he has worked in us and in his people. We celebrate that. We give him the praise and honor for the battles, for the physical trials, for the emotional pain, for the spiritual sacrifices. Knowing that in him we win, that he alone can provide, that he alone can answer. And he brings us again, yes, Lord, you are faithful. For David could not provide the victory. That's a part of this too, right? We find it in context. David could not provide the victory. The people of Israel could not. And we can't either. But in the day of trouble, we can be mindful of his faithfulness. That he's going to carry us through. That he's going to fight for us. That he is the one in whom we seek our blessing. So that we may pray, Father, may the Lord fulfill all your petitions. May we find as a community our richest blessing in him, excuse me, for he's heard our cry. He sent the one who is the name above every name, sending us help from his sanctuary, sending to us from the throne of grace, sending us the one who was seated at his right hand. He sent a sacrifice for us that he would accept, that he might receive us and answer us. And in so doing, Jesus Christ becomes the greatest desire of our hearts. Hearts that are led in all circumstances to praise him no matter what. That is the greatest desire of our hearts, we would serve him, knowing that he will bring blessing and increase in his time and in his way, so that we can rejoice in him. Hallelujah. That we praise him for his victories. And he is the one to whom our prayers are to be lifted together in these days. As Paul reminds us in Ephesians 3, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than we ask or think, according to the power at work in us, to him be glory in the church in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. That's our boasting. That's Paul's boasting. And that then is to be our crying of our boasting together too. But there seems to be a problem. We understand here Father has promised blessing. But boasting is something different, right? Because not only do I know that it's true, but I trumpet it out. That I brag about it. This is my comfort. And again, not because of me, but because of him. But yet in those trials, we feel there's little to boast in. Father, it feels like I have no hope. Why do I believe that tomorrow is going to be any better? Yeah, I hear this prayer and I know that God's people are praying for me. But Father, I'm struggling to believe that blessing is coming and has already come. Maybe this word finds you this morning struggling to believe that his promise can really be. Even though the Lord has shown and proved himself time after time after time after time after time after time again to be faithful. Perhaps even Israel would have been struggling with this. Here's David heading off into another battle. Will he be kept? Because our hope of continued blessing is only in him. And in the one who will come from his line. It's the same struggle for the apostles as they knew of Jesus' last days. He's going to be taken away from us. And as we look at brothers and sisters in the church who have undergone many, many days of trouble and strife, we wonder the same. Will they ever experience the blessing of the Lord again? Will they be restored to him? Will he hear and help and answer and come? But David knew. And the apostles would soon know. They would be shown. And we are shown the very fact, our very boast in verse 6. Now I know. Confidence, right? Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving might of his right hand. He knows. His boasting is totally in the Lord. What blessing. And not that he was reckless in it. Not that he didn't understand his place in life at the moment. But he knew who he was. More importantly, he knew who God was. Who he belonged to. It's a cry he makes in Psalm 34. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. The Lord keeps his promises. The Lord will save the one who he has placed on his throne. The Lord will save the one from whom the line of the Messiah will come. The Lord answers. The Lord saves. The Lord rules with power and might in his hand always, in good days and in trouble. This is our surety. This is what we know. This is what we boast in. And it is totally in the Lord. Because even in his allowing of those days of trouble to come, he's allowing you an opportunity to boast in him. This is what I know, and this is what I will praise. You boast in the Lord. not boasting in yourself or your own strength, not in your own power or understanding, but in the power and majesty and strength and glory and faithfulness of our God. And it is that boast, people of God, congregation of Jesus Christ, that we need to be making to one another, of sounding it forth together, of making it clear what our comfort and trust and assurance is. And that boast needs to be lived before a world that doesn't believe God exists, much less that He hears and saves. Verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. We're so quick to trust what we see. We're so quick to trust what we understand. Father, the best thing for me right now is to be a pastor in the church. And this many years later, no, it was not. What about you? We want deliverance as though that is the only answer from God. And He says, you just need to trust in me. You just need to boast in me. In David's day of trouble, the world would have ridiculed him. David, you and your little band of men, you need more than that. You're not going to find victory for yourself in that. Trust what you can do, what you know, what you have, what you want, what the world can give. Don't trust the Lord, but look at us. We have no trouble at all. That's the world's boast, all fat and sleek without trouble. The people of God, it's foolishness. And more than that, why would we settle for that? Why would we settle for the impotent help that we look around us at that isn't going to get make the change that we need or bring God the glory that He rightly deserves? But we boast and trust in the name of a Lord who has spoken, who has promised, and who calls us to believe it with everything. Every part of who we are, to believe it. The prophet Jeremiah sounds this out for us. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me. That I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. And if He delights in them, what better thing is there for us to delight in? That for us that is blessed comfort now, no matter what. Because we know their end. They collapse and fall. That's what the end of a life trusting in those things leads to. That if you live your life apart from the Lord and apart from Jesus Christ, that fall is coming. That judgment is coming. And so you're called to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ even now. To find your life and all things in Him. To come to Him confessing of all of your sins. And to find grace in Jesus Christ alone. But we rise and stand upright. That we in Christ are lifted up. Lifted up from the mire, lifted up from the ashes of trouble, having been pulled out by our God and made to stand firm in Him. And in that boasting, there's our life. That's life for us. For the Lord has done great things for us and we are glad. We rejoice, we serve Him, we love Him, we lift up our banners, we continue to worship Him, and we proclaim again, O Lord, save the King. May He answer us when we call. Lord, save the one who brings us blessing, that we will know and boast of the fact that You hear and answer us. And people of God, Jesus Christ is Him. That's who's being cried of. That the one who has saved us is our cry of boasting, so that it would be only in Him. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no man may boast in himself. And that is our comfort. That in being in Christ, that status doesn't change in the day of trouble. But rather we are exalted in it. It's Paul's comfort in 1 Corinthians 1. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Do you believe that the Lord is our blessing and boast? Do you believe that in Jesus Christ there is no trouble greater than His faithfulness? And so may we all together remind each other of these things and pray for each other in this light as well. That in that blessing and boasting, no matter what, we would trust in the Lord our God and in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank You for the truth of Your Word. And Father, how it shines into our lives at just the right moment. How You bring it to us, how You humble us by it, and how You call us again, trust in Me. Trust in Me alone, because I'm faithful. And so, Father, we do thank You, not only for that faithfulness, but the opportunity that we have to bring You thanks for it then. And that is the great reversal. Instead of woe and questioning, we bring thanks and praise. And so, Father, You know our hearts. You know the hearts of each one here. You know that which they need to be hearing from Your Word, that which needs to be worked in their hearts. Father, may that work be one that is done in fellowship together. For we ask all these things in Jesus' name.